We're glad you've joined us for Walk with the King Weekend Edition, Saturday morning extended broadcasts from Dr. Robert A. Cook. To help us reach more radio friends with daily encouragement from the gospel, please visit walkwiththeking.org/donate. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right? Well, I'm fine, thank you. Nice of you to ask. Sure, I wait for you to talk back. Why not? Give you a chance to answer. One of these days we'll have the kind of communication where you and I can talk back and forth, and that'll be great, won't it? Well, until then, maybe it just has to be Bob Cook sharing with you from the Word of God, and you can listen and be blessed, and once in a while I'll pause so that you can speak up. All right? Nice to be back with you. Bless your heart. Thanks for setting the time aside week by week so that we can fellowship together. You and I have been looking at the book of Ruth, and the last time we got together, we looked at those opening verses of the second chapter where we decided that nothing happens by chance to the child of God. It just happened that Ruth said, "Let me go and glean some grain. We're hungry. Let me see if I can get some grain among the gleaners." You remember the custom in those days was to allow the poor people to follow the harvesters and pick up handfuls of grain that may have been dropped as people were gathering in the harvest. And so it just happened then that Ruth selected a field that was owned by Boaz. And it just happened that Boaz was a kinsman of Elimelech, who was related to Naomi. All right, that just happened? Oh no, God was planning it. God had something in mind. Back in those dark days, after Ruth's husband had died in the land of Moab, and when Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, call me Mara, which means bitter. God's dealt bitterly with me." Back in those dark, bitter hours, God was planning something so great and so wonderful that they didn't even know what it might be. But now it's happening. And so Boaz meets Ruth, and he says, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any other field. Neither go from hence, but stay here with my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them." Well, she bowed down to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldst take knowledge of me?" "Why," she said, I'm a stranger, I'm a foreigner." And he said, "It hath been fully showed me." Now Boaz got around. He heard the gossip. He knew what was going on. "It hath been fully showed me," he said, "all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore, and the Lord is going to recompense your work, and a full reward will be given you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." There's a beautiful poetical phrase there, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." Does God have wings? No. And any more than he has hands or feet. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The psalmist says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Does God cast a shadow? No. This is poetic language that is the nearest thing human beings can use to describe an experience with God. And so Boaz here was using a poetic phrase of great beauty that is a picture of the little tiny chickens hovering under the outspread wings of the mother hen, "under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now, I was brought up on the farm, and I can remember so often seeing a hen on the nest, and I would say to my Uncle Frank, Uncle Frank, why is she staying there? He said, she's a setting hen. Well, I said, what does that mean? He said, she's got some eggs under there and she's going to hatch them out. Sure enough, in a few days, these fluffy little balls of life, these tiny little chicks came out of the egg where they had been incubating and began chirping and looking about for something to eat. And then just a few hours later, it seemed, the mother hen would lead them out and they would be walking about and looking for something to eat there on the ground. But if the shadow of a hawk passed overhead, as oftentimes does out in the country where you're raising chickens, the hawks like to pick up their dinner that way, you know. And if the shadow of a hawk passed overhead, the mother hen would cluck a sound of warning to the little chickens, and they would all run under her wings and hide safely there until the danger was past. Now, this is what he's talking about here. God is the one under whose wings, so to speak, we hover like little chickens hover under the wings of a mother hen. Our Lord Jesus used the same figure of speech when he said, O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Now, the truth out of this, the truth that comes out of this is that God wants not only to be your God, he wants to be your protector and comforter. God wants not only to be your God, he wants to be your protector and your comforter. Have you, my dear friend, learned to trust God to protect you and to comfort you? I find that there's a great disparity between what people believe about God and what they experience of God. This shows up most often when, for example, I'm called to minister to a family in sorrow, and they're weeping bitterly because a loved one has died. Now you say to them, you know, God can give you comfort. He can ease the hurt. And they'll look at you and say, yes, I know, but. Now, what do they mean? They mean, I know that is what you say, and that's what the Bible says, but I am hurting so terribly in my sorrow right now that nothing helps. Now, I would be the last one to say that because you're a Christian, that your bereavements and your sorrows and your disappointments are going to hurt any less. A friend of mine said that many years ago when she was having some excruciatingly painful work done on her teeth, and because of her physical condition, she could not stand any kind of an anesthetic, so she just had to bear the pain. She said that someone stood beside her and said, well, now you shouldn't feel so bad because, you know, the Lord is with you and so on. She said, if I could have gotten out of the dentist chair, I would have let her know. Oh, dear. You know, when you're hurting, the last thing you want is somebody to moralize and preach to you. Isn't it true? And so I say to people as I come to minister to them, I say as tenderly as I can, you know, God wants to comfort you, dear friend. And more than likely, they'll say, yes, I know, I know. What they really mean is, oh, it doesn't help now. I'm hurting too bad. Now, the truth of it is that God does want to comfort you. The Bible says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And this little booklet that we're offering currently, The God of All Comfort, points out the fact that God does want to comfort you. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. God wants to comfort you. And what is the essence then of the comfort? Does he take the circumstance away? No. If Grandpa has died, he's still dead. But somehow the presence of God is going to make that reality a little different to bear. Is he going to change my human feelings about it? No. If I'm crying, I'm still going to cry. If I'm hurting, I'm still going to hurt. Then what? The presence of God, the precious touch of God upon your life somehow makes it all part of an experience, not just of hurting, but an experience with God. There is a fine line between saying that Jesus is real in times of trouble and expecting that he's going to make me feel better. I notice this in my friends here and there. I notice it when a loved one has passed away. And to some of them I come and say, God bless you, Jesus loves you, God is here to comfort you. And their eyes light up even through their tears and they say, oh yes, thank God. And I know that they know the touch of his presence even then. And the joy, the unspeakable joy of a Christian shines through the tears in those eyes. And then I come to somebody else and I say, I love you. Jesus loves you. God is here to comfort you. And they say, yes, yes, yes. And there's no answering shine. There's no answering joy. There's no response from a heart that is so benumbed by sorrow that it hasn't yet learned to reach out to the source of all restoration and the one who gives us his joy. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Did Jesus enjoy the cross? Oh no, it broke his heart. But the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus knew the secret of joy, and you and I may know the secret of joy, and there is something more than just going through it. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. God wants to comfort you. Yes, he does. I wish I knew how to tell you how to do this. Any more than a person can tell you how to swim. You can take lessons, you can read books, but until you get in the water and launch yourself upon it and trust yourself to it, you won't learn to swim. As long as you keep one foot on the bottom of the pool, you're not going to swim. My mother-in-law, Hilda Nilsson, has now been with the Lord, I guess, 5 or 6 years. But I remember so many things about her. She lived with us for 21 years, something like that, and just found her way into my heart. She and I were very good friends. She went to be with Jesus just short of her 90th birthday. But anyhow, we were in Florida in a vacation. And the place where we were staying had a swimming pool. And so we prevailed upon Bestemor, as we called her. That's Norwegian for grandmother. And so we prevailed on her to get on a swimming suit and go on in. Well, she was a little afraid of the water, so she put some water wings on, a kind of a life jacket that we had found in the garage of the place where we were staying. So there she was with a light-colored bathing suit and a bright orange fluorescent life jacket making her way gingerly down into the pool. And so she would make her way about in the water, you know, and we would tease her and say, Beemore, that was short for Bestemore. We'd say, Beemore, why don't you swim? Oh, she'd say, yes, swim, yes, swim. There she was with one foot on the bottom of the pool and moving her arms about, but firmly anchored. She wasn't doing much swimming because she never got off the bottom of the pool. Well, that's the way it is with many. You say, I'm trusting the Lord, but I'm trusting the Lord to comfort me, but trusting the Lord to protect me, but. And I can't tell you how any more than I can tell you how to swim. I can only say in the moment, and somebody I'm talking to needs this right now. Whoever you are, bless your heart, this is for you. In the moment when sorrow has hit you and is breaking your heart, in the moment when danger is threatening you and the clouds are hovering low over your head, in that moment there's only one answer, and that is to completely commit yourself to God just as you are, just as you feel, just as the circumstances are. Launch yourself completely on His mercies. He wants to comfort you. He wants to protect you. God's comfort doesn't change the circumstances. It changes you in the circumstances and makes you a victor instead of a victim. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. God wants to comfort you. God wants to protect you. And then God wants to reward you. The Lord will recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. God wants to reward you for what you do for Him. Now, there are two points of view on this, and we need to have them both. One is, sometimes God rewards you immediately, and sometimes He waits a while. But He's always on time, and even though you and I may need to wait on some things until we get to heaven, the fact is that God always pays His bills. The Lord will reward you. A full reward will be given you of the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What kind of reward do I look for? First of all, there's the inner reward of satisfaction and peace at having done the will of God. There is no feeling so delicious as having obeyed God and knowing that you're in God's will any given moment. You have yet to discover, if you have not deliberately obeyed God in something, you have yet to discover an exquisitely beautiful relationship with your Lord, an experience that will delight your heart. There is that inner peace and joy that comes from obeying God. The Holy Spirit of God is set free to work in your life when you obey Him. Simon Peter said in Acts chapter 5, "We are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." Obedience sets the Holy Spirit free to work in your life. Jesus desired of His disciples, He said, that My joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. In whom, believing, though now ye see Him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. A commitment to Jesus Christ results in the overwhelming joy of God in your life. The immediate reward of obeying God and trusting God is that inside, down deep where just you know about it, you and God have a precious, wonderful, joyful, satisfying relationship. The psychologist talks about being unfulfilled. That is a term that describes the gnawing inner hunger of a person whose life is not really satisfied down deep inside. When you commit yourself to your blessed Lord and do His will, you have the experience of being fulfilled. That is to say, you know that things are right, and you know it way down deep in your heart where just you live. That's the first reward. The second reward can be found in the lives of people around you and the circumstances that are altered because you have obeyed God. Some of you have had people say to you, "Thank God you came along when you did. My life will never be the same because you introduced me to Jesus." I think the thing that keeps me going in Christian work is the occasional letter or conversation I have with people who say, "You introduced me to the Lord. Things have been different ever since." Oh, thank God that's so. That's the second thing that God does to reward you. You see a difference in the lives and circumstances of people around about you because you were true to your blessed Lord. What else? There is that long-range reward that you may not see for a while, but which after you have passed some months or years, or maybe half a lifetime, you'll be able to look back and see what God has been doing. Jesus said tenderly, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." We don't always understand what God is doing in our lives, but if we honor Him and commit ourselves to Him, as the years go by, with the maturity that the years give, you can see what God has been doing in your life. And it doesn't need to stop. You can keep on enjoying the reward of God's blessing as the years go by. You don't need to stop being happy and fulfilled and blessed because you don't have to stop obeying God. You see that? The Lord is going to reward you, he said. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There's the reward inside, there's the reward outside, and there's the long-term reward that you see as you realize the currents of history have actually been bent in your favor and in the line of God's will and God's glory. I don't know, looking back, why I did certain things, but I can tell you this. Looking back and realizing some things I did because I knew God wanted me to do them resulted in a whole series of events that have been blessed and wonderful. God does pay His bills. God does reward you, my friend. And as the years go by, those rewards get sweeter and more blessed. Believe me. Last of all, there's going to be a day when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive His rewards. And He'll be able to say to those who've been faithful, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I don't know what the shape of that reward may be. I surmise that the thing we'll enjoy most of all is not something that we may get, but a relationship with our living Lord. In thy presence, the psalmist says, there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so the reward that you and I get may well be not something that we get to hold in our hands, but a relationship we sustain where we enjoy the presence and blessing of our living Lord as the ages of eternity roll by. God wants to protect you, and He wants to comfort you, and He wants to reward you. Do you trust God that way? It's so easy to get our eyes on our troubles and our trials and the pressures of life and to forget these great truths that can change and transform the way we live. God wants to protect you. If you're in a situation of stress or danger this minute, look up and trust Him. He wants to protect you. God wants to comfort you. If your heart is breaking and your tears are falling this minute, look up through your tears and say, "Jesus, I love you. I am yours. Comfort me now." God wants to reward you. Do what you know to be the will of God this minute, and you'll find that the first reward is inside, down deep in your heart, the joy of the Lord. And second, you'll find the reward issues out into the lives of other people round about you. And third, as the years go by, you'll be able to see the serene and beautiful purpose of God in all that's going on. And fourth, when you and I get to heaven, we'll get that final, ultimate, blessed, eternal reward that's going to be given to us by our Savior. Oh, thank God. He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work may be." Trust your blessed Lord. He wants to protect you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to reward you. Your job and mine is to trust Him and obey Him. He does the rest. Beautiful truth, isn't it? Well, we're in Ruth chapter 2, and I'm looking now then at verse 13. Then Ruth said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said at mealtime, "Come hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached to her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Handfuls on purpose. That's a precious phrase that has been used many times in sermons, and there's a series of sermon outline books that has that title. But here again, the truth of it is God wants to provide something special for you because he loves you and you're his. He says, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. She can take some things from the sheaves that have been stacked up there. And he said, while you're working, he said to the young fellows, he said, let fall some handfuls on purpose. Take some of the grain and just leave it for her to pick up. Leave it for her to pick up. Provide specially for her. Leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she had a pretty good day there, didn't she? Now, as our moments here wind down to a close, let me emphasize for you what kind of a God we serve. We serve a God that wants to protect us, that wants to comfort us, and that wants to reward us. And then we serve a God who wants to provide special things for us. Do you feel comfortable enough with God to appreciate the little extra surprises that he gives you? Many people never get around to realizing that God does some extra special things. Mothers do this oftentimes, I know. You come home and you say, well, what's for supper? Oh, just the usual. And she has a twinkle in her eye, and you know maybe she has something else in mind. And the kitchen smells extra good, but you can't quite identify what it is. And so the meal goes on, the evening meal goes on, and you talk and so on, and it finally becomes dessert time. And she says, now I got a little surprise for you. I know that you like lemon meringue pie, so I baked you a lemon meringue pie just for you, for a little surprise. And she brings out this beautiful creation, you know. She baked the crust early on and then put the filling in and then put the meringue on and then put that under the broiler to brown it just exactly right. What a beautiful sight it is. And your heart leaps up with satisfaction and joy and appreciation. You say, oh, what a nice surprise. Now, God likes to do that for you, but I think you have to know him well enough to appreciate him before you'll realize that that's what he's doing. Cultivate the presence of God so that you can appreciate the little surprises that he has for you. The things that he does just because he loves you, just because you're special in his sight. You see, the Christian life is not a dutiful drudgery where you're slogging on through life and doing the best you can to get through and that's it. Far beyond that, my friend, you're serving a loving Heavenly Father that loves you with an everlasting love, and he likes to do something special for you. Today, keep your heart open for the special blessings and the special surprises that God has for you. Look for the little unexpected blessings that he is reserving for you because he loves you. I promise you, it will make the day an adventure instead of a drudgery. Dear Heavenly Father, today help us to watch for your surprises of love as we live our day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all for now. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.